Hi, y'all. How you doing? My name's Anita Smith. And just to give you a brief summary, I was first married in 1984. My husband left the marriage in 1999. A divorce was final in 2000. He then remarried in 2001. And 3 years later, I remarried Lonnie Smith in 2004. Now, when Lonnie asked me to speak on this session tonight, I wondered, does he think I know a lot about anger? Does he think I have anger issues? Possibly. Everybody see that? What is it? Anger bird. I'm just going to hold on to my angry bird here. But regardless of the reason he asked, as I dove into watching the video and studying anger, I found myself realizing this was something I had never specifically addressed or resolved within myself, my anger. I've been divorced for 14 years, but had never fully dealt with the anger and resentment I experienced during my 14-year marriage and even the years following. There was anger from being bullied and intimidated, anger from watching my ex break the rules that I felt like I was following, and anger from being responsible while he was not. So I stand before you not as someone who's conquered the anger beast, but someone who's in the middle of the battle just as you are, even though I'm 14 years this side of divorce. Now you might ask why. In my case, it was a couple of things. I was in a loving, believing, Bible-believing church at the time of my divorce, but it was simply not a church that knew how to walk with me through the confusing emotions divorce can leave in its wake. I was also too quickly drawn into a very dysfunctional relationship with a man I worked with. So the chaos of this new relationship distracted me from dealing with the emotional fallout of an abusive relationship, and in fact even added to it. Plus, I was in the new role of being a single mom, taking care of the house we remained in. So between all this, life was simply busy and complicated, and I just set that part aside of my life. Now, John 8:44 calls Satan the father of lies. And this is because Satan is good at making things look good. So we don't look twice at addressing our issues. Someone in the counseling profession told me I had already probably mourned my marriage even before it was over. Not knowing fully what he meant, I believed this lie and led myself to think I was okay. I've already gotten over the events of those years. I'm good, I told myself, so I went on with the business of life. The truth is, in my heart, I know those years had affected me. I just didn't know how. The experience of living with an angry, controlling person, which in turn caused me to stuff my anger, had taken its toll and actually taken on a life of its own. When I look at my life the last few years, I realize how the unresolved anger in my heart had affected me. It has changed from anger to resentment to bitterness. My world became smaller and smaller because this resentment became so much of my focus. And at times, since I can be cynical in nature, so add in unresolved anger and you have a great recipe for negativity, frustration, and irritability. I also experienced anxiety like I never had before, and a great deal of the time I was just exhausted and just simply wanted to be left alone. I had never really associated these things with the fact that I was holding on to unresolved anger until I went through the study. I realized it was stealing my energy and my spirit. In fact, I used to be the perky girl. And I didn't want to be the cat lady that lives at the end of the street with 20 cats that nobody wanted to come around because she was so mean. And I simply realized my feelings of anger were at someone I rarely even had contact with anymore. A revealing moment for me while watching the video was when the counselor asked, "Do you want to be healed?" And if I wanted to be healed, why hadn't I? Because as Les Carter referenced, sometimes we want to hold on to our anger. In my life, I felt it gave me some sort of control, even though I knew better. I equated holding on to my anger with holding my ex accountable. Somehow I thought I was mysteriously punishing him, although it really did leave me constantly disappointed and frustrated. Holding on to my anger even supported my feelings of thinking I was superior, but in an unhealthy way. We often say in divorce care that we don't want you to just feel better, but through a relationship with God, we want you to experience true healing. And that's what Philippians 2:12 says, is to work out your faith with fear and trembling. I had a choice, just like we all do in this room, So I made the choice that I wanted to get better. I wanted God to have victory over the anger that had been controlling me. He had been victorious in so many areas of my life. I knew he would walk with me through this as well. I was holding tightly onto an emotion that was defeating me. I knew I had to seriously and intentionally surrender the anger into God's hands so he could place into my hands the purpose and plan he really had for my life. I didn't want to be the angry Catwoman, but a mercy-offering child of God, a wife and a mother, and a new grandmom, and I wanted to look at things like sunsets. I love sunsets, but when you're angry, you don't care about the things that you used to love. The Lamb of God, my Savior, I didn't have time for the Bible because you can't read the Bible and still be angry. So God wanted to take those things out of my hand and put in the good things that he wanted for my life. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I learned this verse years ago, the key being Christ lives in me. God never meant for us to stumble through our pain and our sin alone, so I knew I wouldn't be abandoned in my struggle to release the anger and then to heal. I prayed what strength I didn't have, that Jesus would, and I knew his spirit within me wanted to do that for me so I would be free. So the first thing I had to do is mourn. The angry person is who I had been for a long time. And you can get comfortable where you are, even when where you are is a place that's hurtful to you and those around you. Now I was letting go of control, or what I thought was control. Because I couldn't change my ex-spouse's heart, I would now allow God to change my heart. Ezekiel 36:26 even says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I also had to let go of self-righteousness. Ouch. This was a big one for me because I always felt superior, thinking I was doing all the right things, especially in regards to parenting and supporting our daughter. However, a biggie, as superior as I felt, it didn't overcome the feelings of anger. Second, I had to put my focus on God. I love Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So I purposed in my heart. I made a decision to remember the good God has done in my life instead of the pain someone else had brought into it. How could I have let the goodness of God outweigh the bad of one human's behavior? Third, I prayed for understanding of my ex's behavior and what it would look like to offer him mercy, grace, and forgiveness. This was the hardest part, but the part I knew would truly free me. I had heard understanding and justifying somebody's behavior isn't important, but for me to remember the abuse and fear he had grown up with helped me realize he was someone who would require a lot of mercy from God and even me. This was also my daughter's dad, so what happened to him affected her. Putting my focus on God and recognizing his goodness towards me also reminded me I had accepted his gift of grace and forgiveness and am called to turn and offer it to others as well. Colossians 3:13 even tells me, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven me, so you also must forgive. My journey's not over, but for the first time in years, I feel and know the hope that comes from moving toward God to conquer a destructive behavior. A behavior that truly marred the roles God has given me as a wife and a mother and a follower of Jesus. So being able to fulfill his purpose in my life is an emotionally healthy and God-glorifying way will not just be my healing, but God's victory. So I encourage you, if you're struggling with controlling your anger, invite God to control your thinking and your responses. He promised us to do that. In Philippians 1:6, he says, I am certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. Thanks for listening.